Right now, a good friend of mine, he is Toto Dynamo. He is Federico De Michelis. He joins us now. Federico, how are you?
Glenn, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Excited to have you on. And first off, let me just let you know here. We're going to do about 4 or 5 minutes here. We're going to have to go to another break, and then you're going to hold over if you can and stay
Perfect.
On with me in the next segment, if that's okay. So listen, as an Argentine, when you heard of the passing of Diego Maradona, what runs through the head of Federico De Michelis?
Oh, sadness. Sadness. A lot of sadness. It was hard. Lots of, you know, crying in silence. You know, very, very... It's tough, you know. As an Argentine, it's tough. It's a moment that one didn't think could ever happen, you know.
What is the other, what is the other thing that he did? Taking Argentina to the top of the world game. I mean, he's getting, you know, winning the 86 World Cup. But the other thing is, isn't it kind of a confidence boost for an entire country? I mean, because of what he did on such a grand stage and the way he did it and his affection for football and his leadership qualities and the fight and determination he showed, which is, let's face it, that's an Argentine trait.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's a big part of his, you know, of why he became a legend and the way he did, you know, that famous match against England in the World Cup. It was a few years after the war. You know, Argentina was very, very hurt, very, feeling helpless about the situation. And to do that as an Argentine against England, there was a lot more in that game than just a game of soccer. And it's like a story. You know, it's like a children's story. You almost can't believe it. You know, the amount of dramatism of the content of the situation. First, you know, stealing in the face of the people that stole land from you, you know, a few years back, being the giant that the British Empire is, you know, and being such a small brown kid from, you know, the ghettos of Buenos Aires, you know, with your hand. And not only that, but also 3 minutes later, showing them, you know, how to play the sport that they invented, you know, in the middle of a World Cup, with everything that was being played at that moment, everything that it meant. You know, I talk about this, and I was, you know, I'm 31. I obviously didn't see it happen live, and I still get, you know, goosebumps and, you know, feelings that, you know, I just, you know, it's very hard not to get emotional when you think about the huge portion of, you know, Maradona, that we all have of Maradona as Argentines.
He's Federico De Michelis, covers the Dynamo with Toto Dynamo, also a good friend and a tremendous opera singer, by the way. Let's also, full disclosure, get that out. Don't worry, Federico, I'm not going to ask you to do a goal call opera style tonight, so don't get nervous. I already went to that well once. I will go back there one day, but it's not going to be tonight. Most indelible moment etched in your mind of Maradona, but you can't give me the hand of God, and you can't give me the second goal against England, even though I know that's huge. What would come in after that?
Well, there are plenty. For me, growing up, there was one goal in particular that touched me in terms of the magic of the game. You know, doing something that it's probably impossible to explain with the laws of physics that we know, which is that famous free kick with Napoli against Juventus, and that I think it was 1-0 the final score, the first time Napoli beat Juventus in I don't know how many years. I don't know if you recall that free kick. You know, it's
no, I do. It's in the documentary. Yeah,
yeah,
it's in
yeah,
his
exactly,
documentary.
Exactly.
So you know, that's the other thing that people and I think we have to discuss. He goes to Napoli, and they've got a little bit of a. You know, they've got a complex about who they are in the south of Italy. And, you know, are we always bowing to Juventus and Milan and the north of Italy? So in some ways, it's almost kind of like when he takes Argentina to the World Cup with what he does with Napoli
exactly
and the people and how they fall in love with him. And then all of a sudden they win 2 Serie A titles, which they have never done with him. And, you know, it's almost like a carbon copy in a way at the club level in Italy.
It is, and that's again, that's why he means so much to the people. You know, to the people. He did it in Napoli. Napoli being, you know, what Napoli was. You know, with all the stigma of Camorra. You know, of the mafia. Of being, you know, from the south, with everything that means in the Italian culture, and the same was it in Argentina, exactly the same, and he did it all by himself, you know, always putting himself in the more fair side of things, if I'm allowed the expression, you know. Of course, mm-hmm. There are many debatable positions and opinions and ways of doing things. But what is more objective is that he was always on the side of the people that needed him the most. You know, always trying to give people some joy through soccer.
Which he does. He's at Napoli from 84 to 91. He plays 188 times, 81 goals there. But, you know, at the end, he does get involved with the Camorra. They get their grips on him. He does have a cocaine problem. He has a whole bunch of other issues. And at the end, you know, they're trying to throw him in jail, basically, and he's lucky to get out of there, Italy.
Yeah, and that, again, that has happened over and over. You know, a lot of people have talked about, you know, what would his career have been if he didn't mess with the people that he messed with. But at the same time, there's the other way of thinking about it, which is, you know, what many other people say, that it's like, look, if I were Maradona, I probably would have done the same, you know, because Maradona, there's only one, and it's very, very hard to be in the mind of someone that lived that kind of life. You know, he lived, you know, 100 lives that, you know, of any normal person, all in one short little human being with an extraordinary talent and a feeling for the game and for the people, for his family, for the people that he defended every time he stepped on a pitch.
So there's no question. We know what the heights he took Argentina to, two World Cup finals, what he did at Napoli, what he did at Argentinos Juniors when he started his career from 76 to 81, two trips to Boca where he scored close to 40 goals for Boca in about 70 games, Barcelona, brief period. Be truthful with me. I shouldn't have said that because you are truthful with me. So that's a really silly thing to, you know, you know how when people say, I'm going to be honest with you, what you say back to that person is, so you've been dishonest the last 20 minutes? I mean, so I want your take on, did it hurt you to see his struggles? Did it hurt you to see him sometimes being caricatured? Did it hurt you to see him, you know, overweight with a puffy face, you know, looking like an addict, let's face it.
Yeah, I think it hurt all of us.
Because it bothered me.
Yeah, I think it bothered and it hurt also. Because again, in you know, in Argentina, particularly, Diego is much more than a soccer player. You know, he's a brother, he's a friend, you know, he's a relative, he's someone that maybe not all of us knew, but that we all feel a very, very strong connection. But somehow, and, you know, I'm thinking about the other guest that you just had. I can't remember his name right now.
Danny Gonzalez.
Yes, Danny. Yeah. And Danny was saying, you know, well, sometimes he didn't have all the answers. You know, he brought problems, but he didn't have the answers. And you know, the thing and the relationship that I at least had with him was, I can't demand him any answers. You know, I can't ask him for anything more than what he has already given me, my loved ones, my country, my people, my everything. You know, Maradona escapes my possibility of judgment. You know, to judge him like as any other.
Hold that thought, Federico. Hold that thought. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back. We'll do more with you here in this next segment. I think we're going to phase over a little bit and also to the Dynamo roster that went down today and maybe take a look at that and see if anything jumps out to us. Ramon Ramirez, not the one you think I'm talking about, Mexico fans. Some guy who's got a blue check, but it's not that Ramon Ramirez. It says He says, it's time to sign Layún and Aguilar and bring back the 2014 Club America All-Stars that single-handedly dressed up in green, saved the soul of a nation when El Tri was at its darkest. Team of the people in Austin Brewing. That's coming out of Austin FC. Aguilar apparently, and I think this is coming from maybe Club America, has a link to the Houston Dynamo. We'll take a break. Break is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. My good friend Jan Christensen. Get over to Danish Inspirations. Best in contemporary furniture. Stressless lounges. The best. The most comfortable. Best for your posture and your back. You get them at Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. We're back with more.
ESPN 97.5. With a purple umbrella and a 50-cent hand. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, as always, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We're going to get back to Federico D. McKellis of Toto Dynamo in a second. But first, I want you to listen to this something. And Federico, I want you to listen to this too, because the passion here is pretty incredible. This is my great friend, Sebastian Abraham. He has Patagonia Restaurant out on I-10. Wonderful Argentine steakhouse. Great friend of mine. I've eaten there a bunch. We've done some soccer things there as well. Just a highly passionate guy. He's also Argentine. Here's his take. This is on his take as to why Maradona is better than Lionel Messi.
Maradona was the real number 10 because he was the captain, you know, and the guy here running all the team. You know, he have a communication inside in the field with everybody. The guy, he push everybody. Versus Lionel Messi is a great soccer player, but the big problem is when we have something bad time, the guy is like a close, his eyes, his ear, and it's just himself. And you know, see a captain like a Maradona, let's go with Batistuta, let's go with Caniche, let's go with all these great player, you know, with Ruggeri, the guy in the back, everybody push, you know, that's when that's the difference. It was unbelievable, the connection with the other player and everything, the passion, the love, and the fighting. You know, see a Leo Messi.
Well, that's a push towards the leadership, the fight, the spirit. How Maradona lifted his teammates. And that's something that resonates with Argentines, right? I mean, that's a pretty fair statement, don't you think, Federico, from Sebastian Abraham of Patagonia?
I agree with him. I frankly never really understood the comparison between Messi and Maradona, you know, because like he said, you know, Messi is an extraordinary football player, absolutely extraordinary, one of a kind, no doubt about it, you know, but Maradona is much more than that. Much more than that. I mean, you can't even, start to compare one or the other. You know, one is a legend, absolutely epic, on the field and off the field as well. And Messi, he is, you know, it's also different, you know, in times. You know, he's a modern player. He just plays the sport. You know, goes back home, and that's the end of the story. It was different back then, but Maradona has qualities of, you know, true leader qualities.
Yeah, listen, for we are not bagging on Lionel Messi. There's no way we're doing that. But from the leadership perspective, yes, you can see the difference. I sometimes think Lionel Messi is pushed into a leadership role, and it's almost a hesitant one, but it's one that he has to accept because he is one of the greatest players in the world.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Yeah. And you know, you can't ask him to, you know, to be at the level of Maradona. You know, he is extraordinary. It's just not in the same league. You know, it's different kind of people. I think one is a legend, one is a national hero. You know, and the other one is an extraordinary football player.
PatagoniaGrillHouston.com. That's Sebastian's restaurant. It's a wonderful place. You go over there, you know, they got all the different cuts of meats. They've got tomahawk pork chops, short ribs, Angus ribeyes, lamb shanks. They've got the churrasco. It's just a wonderful place. Salmon, a lot of great red wines there as well. So get over there. Say hello to Sebastian. Tell him you heard about it on Soccer Matters. And this is just a good friend of mine trying to help him out because both him and Danny, small businesses, trying to keep their restaurants afloat. Anything we can do to help them, we will. All right, let's quickly go here. I'm going to read the roster here real quick, and then Federico, I'm going to ask for you to give us some input on anything that jumps out. So the options were exercised on Darwin Serén, Fuenmayor, Junqua, Lemoyne, Lundqvist, McHugh, Nelson, Palomino, Vera. Lassiter was bought from Alajuelense in Costa Rica. Jose Bezama accepted a restructured contract. Options declined on seven players. Now, remember, doesn't mean they're not going to be back. Okay, it means they could be back. They could restructure their contracts, try to get the players to come back for less. Kyle Adams, Victor Cabrera, Cody Cropper, Tomas Martinez, Ronaldo Pena, Michael Salazar, Wilfried Zahibo. Some of them will be gone, though. There's no question about that. Out of contract, Minor Figueroa, Boniek Garcia, Nico Hansen. Now, there's apparently been an offer made to Nico Hansen. So that's 22 players under contract, two goalkeepers, eight defenders, five midfielders, and seven forwards. If they were to keep Figueroa, Garcia, and Hansen, you're up to 25. That's another five roster spots for you. What jumps out to you, Federico?
To me, the big surprise here was Victor Cabrera not coming back. It's my understanding that it wasn't a soccer decision. There was more of a contract kind of a problem there. But still, I mean, for me, he was one of the standouts of the season, especially knowing that the center backs are something that, you know, they will need to solve in for this season coming up. So that was the big surprise for me. The rest, I don't think we have any big surprises there. I don't know how you felt about it, Glenn.
Yeah, Kiki Struan is coming back. Victor Cabrera won that position from him. But unless you know something I don't know, it doesn't mean they can't renegotiate and re-sign Victor Cabrera. Do you know something different that says he's definitely gone?
No. Okay. Nothing that's completely definite, but yes, that there is
But it was a bit of a surprise because, yes, I understand what you're saying, because he played well at the end of the year. Tab Ramos liked the fact that he could build the game out of the back. Now, if he were to go, that means, you know, for me, I think the biggest thing is there's a youth movement here. He's made it very clear he wants the team to get more athletic. He wants an additional signing on all the lines of the team. For me, the Dynamo need a defining center back. They need a defining central midfielder that raises the bar there, that's athletic, that can cover ground. But they need two focal points, one at the back central and one in midfield, to me. And I think that's going to improve a lot of things. Now, that's a big ask, getting the right guy. They tried with Zahibo. I don't know if he's going to be coming back. He got injured. He was a disappointment. Ronaldo Pena. Now, here's a guy that, you know, was an under-20 finalist with Venezuela. Came in highly touted. His potential never materialized. He ended up getting injured. But then you say to yourself, you know, how much responsibility was on Pena and how much was on the Dynamo over the years in not being able to develop him and accelerate him? Now, you know, he's not a wide midfielder. They tried him there. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No, I agree. And, you know, he had not only the injury, but then, you know, that unfortunate tweet that he was, you know, sort of punished for. And there was a lot of talk about that as well. But, you know, I think he also didn't have the chance. Half his responsibility, half maybe, you know, just the season that we had that wasn't, the most normal. One of the things that I would mention is also the re-signing of Fuenmayor, which I think it's a good thing, thinking about the future and those, you know, center back positions that are something that they will really have to think about. It's interesting because Fuenmayor, you know, this season he also didn't have a lot of work, but whenever he did come in, he did a good job. You know, he's still developing, and I think the club is you know, they have faith in him.
I'm going to take a differing tack to you on him because he played a lot of games early when he came here, and then he kind of was put in the hinterlands by Wilmer Cabrera. Yes. He's at a critical phase of his career. He's got to deliver now. You know, he can't be unrealized potential anymore. He's been here a number of years, so it's time for him to grab an opportunity that's staring him in the face, Alejandro Fuenmayor. This team needs stability in the center back position. It needs youth there. He's young. He's got a good frame, can be a target on set pieces, but he's got to grab it. And I hope these players can see the opportunity that they have. You know, yeah, they didn't make the playoffs. This is all in the context of not making the playoffs, and we can say whatever we want. It's 1 in 7 years. You better be one of the best players on this team. You better be pushing to be a guy that owns a starting position here, and I think that's what Todd Ramos is working towards. But I think a couple more significant signings can, you know, kind of lift certain areas of this team, and we'll see if that can happen. And if the resources will be there for Todd Ramos, I think he's been so refreshing coming in. I just hope he gets what he needs in the future. Where do you think the biggest needs are, and what would you do right now?
No, I agree with you completely. I think you need big names, especially for me in the midfield. Center back position, I think they can manage with what they have. They'll probably bring someone in. They have to. But you do need a midfielder to help out Matias Vera. Sahivo was the solution. It didn't work out, you know, the injury. And then whenever he played, he really didn't do very well. But those two things for me are key. And as well, you know, it's good news. I think they brought Manotas back. He needs a good season after last season, because if not, the number nine position will be up for grabs, and it's too important. You know, they did create situations, you know, but you have to put them in. It's not, you know, it's more of the same.
Well, Federico, he may have to become a 9 to 10 goal scorer, not a 15 goal scorer, in a differing system. We'll see, but I don't think without any question, some things are going to have to happen here. We're going to have to take a break here. We've got Andreas Cantor coming up. Very much thank you for coming on, Federico, and continue the good work with Toto Dynamo.
Thank you, Glenn, as always. Have a good one.